You know, last night we talked a little about Charlie Kirk and Alex Jones and Trump and how it seems that some of the goyish conservatives are maybe coming around. And I don't know if even coming around is the right way to say it. I'd say it's more like they're just frustrated. They're venting. But I want to talk a little bit tonight, just before we get into the latest developments in Gaza, about another post from Charlie Kirk, which I saw today. And I want to talk about it because this is a really important point. And I've been talking about this actually for several months. In the background of the Gaza war and in the background of the Ban the ADL campaign a few weeks ago, I've been talking consistently about this other narrative. This is very important. I saw this tweet from Charlie Kirk today, and he's not the only one. Many people are pointing out that there's this alliance between the American left and the Palestinians. And people have noted that there's this overlap, that the Palestinians talk about liberation against the Israelis. Similarly, the black people and the left in America talk about liberation against white people or against conservatives. And people have pointed out that there's this superficial similarity in the rhetoric because they talk about decolonization and liberation, and it's the same words, and they tend to support one another. BLM supports the Palestinians, and those Muslim groups in America like CARE or politicians like Ilhan Omar, they support, in turn, BLM. But I've said from the beginning that this is really a forced dialectic. And if you pay attention, a lot of Jewish Zionists are making it a priority to show conservatives that BLM and Hamas are one and the same. If you follow some of these big Twitter accounts like Libs of TikTok or End Wokeness, both of these accounts are run by Zionist Jews. And other Zionist Jewish faces are saying the same thing. All these accounts are saying the same thing, which is that suddenly BLM and suddenly refugees and immigrants are a problem because they support Hamas. And I talked a little bit about this on Friday, that America has had this problem for decades. And it's really two problems. America and Western Europe, but specifically America, have had the problem of one, mass migration through illegal and legal means, through refugee programs, through the asylum process, through work visas. Some are just hopping the border. So that's one. One problem is the mass migration of people coming in. They're changing the demographics. They're bringing problems with them. They're causing a white genocide in white nations. And that's happening in all white countries in the world. That's problem one. And it's gone on since Hart-Celler. It's gone on since the Bush Immigration Act in 1990. It's been with us for a long time. And conservatives have always opposed immigration. Problem number two, which is really exclusively an American problem, is our very problematic black minority, which has been getting only more violent. They are emboldened and enabled by liberal Democrats who have taken over the judicial and law enforcement process in the major cities and states. And because of BLM and because of liberal prosecutors and attorneys general, you know that now all the major cities are up for grabs. And I guess there's really a third problem too, which is at the universities, which one way to look at a university is they are elite-making institutions. All the elites in law, banking, finance, government, they all come through the universities, and the universities are dominated by BLM, liberation, left-wing types. So these problems have been going on for a long time. I guess it's really three. It's immigration, it's this violent black minority in America, and it's the left-wing takeover of the universities. And for the longest time, we've really just permitted these things to go on. We've had Republican presidents, we've had Republican legislatures, states have had Republican governors, and yet we're soft on crime, we're soft on the border, soft on immigration, and I don't know that anybody's ever gone after these universities or their endowments. But now suddenly, and I pointed this out partly on Friday, suddenly Now that BLM and the immigrants and refugees and the liberals at the university support Hamas and Palestine, now we're going to move heaven and earth to destroy them. Now suddenly, BLM is a legitimate target. 3 years ago, a lot of conservatives were taking the knee right next to them. And for a long time, conservatives have been playing in even to the black victim narrative. And conservatives have said, we don't want an immigration moratorium. We want to staple green cards to diplomas. We want to permit anybody who wants to come legally. And they've been, I would say they've been critical of the universities. That's maybe the one area they've been good on. Point being is now when it's a problem for Israel, now when all these left-wing or belligerent non-white groups are supporting Israel's enemy, now we can do anything possible, anything in the government's power to rid our country of them. And as I said on Friday, that demonstrates where the real seat of power is. When these problems are afflicting white people, when they're eroding white society or the foundations of white society, like our heroes, holidays, religion, culture, it's never been a big problem. And if it is, it's never been an urgent problem. Nobody's screaming. Nobody's deporting people like they are in France and England right now. But suddenly they are. And that's because, again, the real seat of power clearly lies with organized Jewry as well as the state of Israel. That's why it's suddenly become a priority. That's why the gloves are off now in many cases. Now, going along with this is this narrative now, which you're hearing, which is that BLM and Palestine are the same. And I said this last week, Palestine says that the Israelis are colonizers and they need total liberation from them. And they say that BLM supports Palestine, and BLM employs the same rhetoric. They say they need to decolonize and liberate America against the white people. And I saw this tweet from Charlie Kirk today. He said that this is what's going on. He said that the left is anti-Jew, anti-white, and anti-West. Now, it's amazing is that for decades, you could never talk about how these groups are anti-white. You could never talk about that. Not until very recently. And I would know because I was at Charlottesville. And I was at Charlottesville and I wasn't there for the tiki torch, but the message of Charlottesville was that these Jewish elites would not replace white Americans through immigration from the third world. Now, back then, it was a Nazi rally. You were radioactive if you went. Now, I think a lot of people are getting closer to that message, although they don't necessarily understand the Jewish dimension of it. But anyway, back then, you know, like I said, I was there protesting against mass migration, replacement migration, which is going to genocide the white people wherever they reside. But back then, you couldn't say that. And when the Groypers initially went to the Turning Point events on the college campus in 2019, we were called white supremacists. We were called white nationalists for saying that America should have an immigration policy designed to protect the white majority. But again, now that Israel is under attack and these groups are supporting Israel's enemies, only now can we say that it's anti-white, and only in the same breath as we call it anti-Jewish. And it reminds me of this other word that we use, like Judeo-Christian. And here's the point. In America, our civilization is being destroyed in two ways. Our religion, which is Christianity, is under attack, and the race, which built Europe, and Europe, which colonized the world and built countries like the United States, Canada, and Australia, is also under attack. In 100 years, without any changes, all things being equal, with the loss of religion, with generations increasingly identifying as not having a religion or atheist, and as whites don't have children, and as non-white immigrants pour into the white countries replacing them, by the end of this century, there's going to be hardly any Christians, and there's going to be hardly any white people. But this has been the trend for generations. It's only now that we can talk about it, and it's only in the same breath that we talk about the same thing happening to the Jews that we could talk about it. In other words, we can't talk about a white genocide unless we're also talking about how the real problem with this is that Jews will be most affected by it. It can never just be anti-white. It has to be anti-white and anti-Jewish. Similarly, we can never talk about how Christianity is under attack. We can never talk about a Christian theocracy. We can never talk about a Christian government or Christian laws. We can only talk about a Judeo-Christian tradition, a Judeo-Christian value system. And so my point tonight is that we need to decouple these things, and we need to realize that that's a false dialectic. The dialectic is not the Judeo-Christians, the Jews and the whites, versus the non-whites of the world, versus the black people and the Palestinians and the Muslims and the Russians and the Chinese. That is a false dialectic. And it's a false dialectic because guess what? Jews and Christians don't share the same values. And what's more, Jews and white people do not share the same interest. And we know this because when you look at the modern left on the universities, it was created by Jews. When we talk about cultural Marxists, when we talk about the Frankfurt School, where did they all come from? Where did they all flee from and why? And what are their last names? Now, some of them are French and some of them are something else, but most of them are Jewish. And when we talk about the neocons, when we talk about the neocons that took over the GOP and sent us to war in Iraq, which we talked about a few weeks ago, has been so catastrophic for the United States. I think on the anniversary of 9/11, I did a big show and said, when you bookend it with the Iraq war and the Ukraine war, you see how the Iraq war was the beginning of the end for Western civilization in some ways. Who were the neocons? What were their last names? Where do they come from? Where does their tradition come from? Would you guess that these neocons became foreign policy hawks? Because in 1973, it was the Soviet Union that backed the Arabs in a surprise attack on Israel. And you see how it's all connected? And so the point being is to say that the Jews and the white people, or the Jews and the Christians, are one side of a dialectic. They're one side of two poles in a conversation against the commies and against the global South and against the Palestinians is wrong. You cannot consider either the religious Jews or the non-religious Jews, you can't consider them as on the same side as the white people and the Christians, because Jews so often work against the interest of whites and Christians, and they have for generations. And you know, Carl Schmitt popularized this concept. He said that the essence of politics is the us versus them distinction. He said that the most important thing in politics is to determine who's on our side and who we're fighting. He said that dichotomy defines politics. And he said, and I don't know the exact quote, but he said that nothing is more dangerous than to consider a group that should be on the other side as one of your own. But that's exactly what we've been doing when we speak of these things like Judeo-Christianity, and when we speak of these things like an anti-Jewish / anti-white sentiment. Because we see that only when Israel needs our money, only when Israel needs white conservatives to hate Hamas as much as they hate BLM, it's only then that we are empowered to expel refugees from our country. It's only then that we can get really intense about how we want to approach problems like BLM. When it's a regular day, when it's just the last 30 years, it was Jewish people in the conservative movement. It was Jewish people who were left-wing on the universities. It was the ADL that was browbeating us about having a white identity, about turning away non-white immigrants because of its demographic effect. The ADL, 3 weeks ago, was saying that it's white nationalists and they're counting down the days until it's a white minority and we need liberal internationalism to bring the white core to heel in America. 3 weeks later, they got Palestinians fired from MSNBC because they said that they're not sufficiently pro-Israel. And so you understand how the Jewish people only care about anti-white, they only care about anti-Christian when they need the whites and Christians to support them. But when we need them to fight anti-white or anti-Christianity any other day of the week, they're on the other team. They're the ones out there like Ben Shapiro saying, I don't give a damn about the Browning of America. That was years ago, before Israel needed us to go to war for them. And these other people who have called me for years a white nationalist, a white supremacist, a hateful person, all those years, I was a horrible person. But now that the non-white refugees that we brought in are waving Palestinian flags in New York City, now they want them all out. And they say, hey, come on, these guys are anti-white and anti-Jewish. What do you say we work together and get them out of here? Excuse me, where have you been for the last 30 years? They were supporting the wars that caused them to come here in the first place, like in Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Afghanistan. So I don't want to hear about anti-Jew, anti-white, anti-West, because it only ever seems to be we're all on the same side when Israel's under attack. When Israel's not under attack, it's every white person for themselves. And if you go too far, you call the white supremacist neo-Nazi. Another Holocaust if this guy gets ahead. Shut it down. So that's a false dialectic. And we have to keep in mind that it has been an unholy alliance between Jews and these refugees. Before all this with Israel, it was them working together against white people. And maybe you remember last year when Kanye West talked about Jews running the media. Do you remember the overtures that the Jews made to the black people and said, we have been together for years. The Jews supported the civil rights movement because we've both been treated with hate and discrimination and prejudice by the white majority in America. And it's true, they were. But now they want to come and sidle up next to us and be our best good friend and say, get them! Get those black people that we support in the civil rights movement, they support Hamas, get them! Now they gotta go. Really? So we need to keep in mind that it's whites and it's Christians. Our Jewish elite in this country has not been friendly to our white majority, and to the extent that they have Jewish religious values or atheistic values, which in some sense proceed from Judaism, they're contrary to Christian values too. You know, Ben Shapiro is talking about how Jesus Christ was a Roman that got killed for his trouble. But again, when Israel's under attack, hey, we're all on the same side against radical Islam. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so this time. So anyway, I just wanted to, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I wanted to bring that up because I've been saying this for a long time. These Zionists and other Jewish types, they always want to stand next to the white man or the Christians when they need us to go and fight their wars. And once we go and fight their wars and the threat is abated, then the Jews carry on undermining the white Christian civilization because they are the ones that are in all these elite positions. And that tends to be the problem. Look no further than the conservative media. These guys like Shapiro, Prager, Charlie Kirk himself, they have been gatekeepers against any kind of pro-white consciousness for years. But all of a sudden, when Hamas attacks, now we'll speak of these things like an anti-white, anti-Jewish left? I don't think so. Where were you when it mattered? Where were you when Donald Trump was running in 16? Or where were you when Pat Buchanan was running for that matter? They were calling him an anti-Semite. That's where they were.